Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, now the big day is here. All of them coming combined. It's so good. Feel like I work. Feel like I got a job 24/7. Yes, this is the Ask Uncle Bill, Uncle Billy show. And it's a blast being back. How are we doing? Well, for all of those who hadn't heard, Miss Pamela Duncan was put to rest on Saturday, and again this morning I didn't get to attend. I was on dialysis, but I was there on Saturday. It made me feel good the way people was discussing her and talking about her. So tonight I'm just going to say hello to her friends, all her friends and her family and extended family, and hopefully give a few of you all a chance to call in and say goodbye and how much she meant to you and stuff for maybe an hour or so, because Uncle Billy has a job, so to speak. Uncle Billy is trying to put together you all a web page or two so that we can do some blog and talking while we on the air at the same time or whatever. You know, when the lines get full, go to blogging or whatever. I'm making my decisions as you call in and tell me what you want, tell me what you need. But right now, the big part of my show is saying goodbye to my 12-year-old birthday present. I was 12 when she was born. The day she was born, I turned 12. I used to say the hour, the minute that I turned 12, she was born. And, of course, everybody knew her, knew that she was, and still is, the love of my life. Yes. Had me wrapped around her finger from the day she was born. So, I was looking at one of her pictures the other day when she was like, wow, 17, 16. Man, and just really, really, really looking back on it, I think it was a Fair Park picture. Something. And I didn't even want to ask my little nephew who was on the picture with her. I thought, man, what was y'all at? Old folk don't remember that well. And I definitely couldn't say when it was, but she was about 16 or 17, and brought back some memories. Those were my pal years, because she had fell in love with all kinds of sports. I mean, soccer, basketball, football. Uncle Bill, can I watch the game with you? Baby, you know I like watching the game by myself. I never said that to nobody. And all of a sudden, I got made up. I didn't want her in there with me watching my game. And I was a loner. Go back in the kitchen with your granny. Go cook some. Uncle Bill, I like football. Okay. Go upstairs and watch it. But inevitably, I changed that opinion. So she said, don't come to my basketball game. Yeah, Lord, that mercy. This girl know how to God dog me swing a shovel. And so those were the great days. The challenge was, can I talk her away from me daily or no? So I won't have to be challenged and won't feel it coming. Because, boy, I mean, every day, all day, from the time she woke up, not the time I woke up, the time she woke up to the time I went to sleep, it was a challenge. So one of the best challenges I ever had in my life. I kind of lied the other day. I was telling somebody I never lost a debate. None that was publicized. I lost every debate to her. There was no winning. There was no winning. Used to say I had the last word. She had the last word. So, yeah, those were the days. Those were the, what they call them on TV, those were the wonder years. When I find me somebody to write my book, those years are going to definitely have to be there. If I'd have been able to get gray, she'd have made my hair gray. But I cherished every minute of it, every hour, every day, for 54 wonderful years. I cherished it and loved it more and more each and every day. Pamela Parnell Duncan. Uncle Mia, why you keep trying to call me Pamela Parnell? I said, because that's who you are. And I think by the time she was 8 or 9, maybe 10, she began to call herself Pamela Parnell. And she'd tell her friends, when I said, tell her friends, act like a Parnell, or they come in the house and act quiet around me and sit down and act like they got some sense. You know, I'd ask her, what do you tell your friends about now? Uncle Bill, I just told them you don't like busy people. sit down and don't talk to them, they'll like you. And then later on in life, when I call a friend, they act like a real funny girl. And her friends tighten up. And, what that mean? Oh, that mean he like you, girl. Or that mean he like you, boy. That mean you cool around him. Yeah. My baby. But this is just my public way of saying goodbye. Trust, I've been saying it every night since she left. Because the memories, however long it take, I'm going to cherish them. Because, like I said, 54 wonderful years. Another, I used to call him my Frank Sinatra, because he did it his way. And she definitely did it her way. She would listen to me on the surface and come back and be in my face and tell me, Uncle Bill, it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. Pam, you left here with doing it on your mind. Said don't stay out to no dog 12 o'clock, no 1 o'clock. And here it is, 2 o'clock, you come trifling in there. Uncle Bill, it was an accident. How is that an accident? That was on purpose. Well, I ain't going to do it no more. That's what you said last week. I couldn't do nothing but go to sleep. But she was at home safe. You know. Yeah. So much to talk about. Oh, that's in my boss's paper, ain't it? So much to talk about, so little space. Glad I got a little more air time, because, yeah, I won't be with you all the full duration because of other pertinent businesses that I have to do and take care of. But rest assured, she already, at her funeral on Saturday, I tried to get one of my nephews to say she already up there trying to tell Jesus, let her be next. Let me tell him what to do, Jesus. You know. you gonna sit over there, Jesus. I know you tired. Let me tell some of these fools what to do, you know. Yeah. I can see that smile on her face now. Oh, you gonna let me do it this time? I just hope she don't get demoted, you know. Well, fam, you didn't really blow me up. You up here fighting and going on. So, you know. But, think about it. They might need that spice up there. My mother been up there acting like she was Queen of Scotland. Y'all just sit down over there in that corner. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. But like the pastor said, though, you know, and I said in a couple of my stories, in a couple of my airtime philosophical discussions down through the last couple of months, we all got to pass that way. Win, lose, or draw, you know, ain't no ifs, ands, and buts. You know, we might last a little longer than some of our friends, do a little better than most when the doctors are out of control and trying to make like they God and Jesus. But the reality of the matter is we all got to pass that way. And as I was telling another friend, you know, back when I was a real little boy, one of the first songs that I heard and fell in love with, I fell in love with quite a few of them, but I really heard and fell in love with was Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. He had to walk it by himself. No one else could do it for him. He had to do it all himself. And we got to take that same journey. See, but by you trying to make the journey and the trip unbearable for someone else, that's going to make it displeasurable for you. So you know what I'm saying. You hear me? I know y'all hear me. Because in other words, what I'm saying, get that false smile off your face and that devilment out your heart and just have a good time. Try to do the best you can when you can, while you can. Because trust this, I done been through it 3 or 4 different times because the doctors didn't believe I was going to be here. But the real deal is, ain't too many seconds to take a chance. So what I'm actually trying to tell you is, you ought to make it as pleasant as possible for everybody that you encounter. That rush of sunshine that you see when you see your mother or your father coming, that's endowed to be passed on to you so that you can pass it along to somebody else. It's called a team thing, you know. Charity starts at home and spreads the joy. So what you got to do now is just believe the unbelievable, because people go Dodd and Thomas, you know why they call them Dodd and Thomas, aren't they? Peeping in the hole and all of that there. Looking for something for nothing, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I basically don't tell nobody to go to work for nobody else when it's something you can do out there for yourself that could be definitely more pleasing to you in both ways, both economically and sensibly, you know, mentally, all of that. So, but you know, do what you do and have fun at what you do and be good at what you do. You'll enjoy it enough to come out with a smile on your face, whether you got enough money in your pocket right then or not. But don't get grouchy before you retire. You know, it's all right to be old and grouchy after you done dedicated your life to goodness and whatever else, because everybody knew that that grouch is a front. You just don't feel like being messed with right now. I'm telling y'all that part because that's me. But the real fact of the matter is, it ain't about being grouchy all the time. It ain't all about being unethical and unmoralistic, if that's a word. I forgot to tell y'all when you first called in. I make up words as I feel. And if you doubt my word makeup, see that? Thought you was going to give me that. If you doubt my word philosophy, go to the dictionary and make your accusation. I'm not actually plagiarizing or anything, but I am mesmerizing. Because I'm going to tell you what I want you to hear. But it's all good. See, I double back on it. But the truth is, keep a smile on your face and in your heart. Because when you wake up in the morning, that's a precious gift. Once you really begin to realize that, think about it now. Have you thought about thanking the Lord today for opening your eyes? No. You just woke up and said, I ain't never going to damn work. Excuse the French. But I had to throw that in like that. Because I saw it in your eyes today when we passed by you. I don't want to go to work. Well, if you don't like that job, get you another job. Get you something you like doing. Sometimes you should take less money in order to be happy. Because sooner or later, the happiness will pay off more than the money. Get to thinking about it. Your body gets wired up and tensed up when you mad, when you angry, when you upset, when you stress. Don't you know that strain on the body? I know you done heard it before, that strain on the brain. That's what gives you heart attacks and strokes and stuff like that. You walking down the street, your nose bleeding because you mad. Can't do nothing about it. Yeah, you can do something about it. Quit that no good job that's making you mad every day, and find you something you like doing. Trust. If you live longer, you at least you'll be happy with some more longer days. You wait on. Some people just want to keep it, have their cake and eat it too. You can't do that every day. Because pressure will bust the pipe. I ain't saying get no paperboy job, but think about it. That's maybe the reason you should have went to school. If you didn't have no plan B when you dropped out, you should have stayed your butt in school. You know, I try to tell folks. And I told one young lady, she gone now, so she can't argue back. If you don't finish school, can't talk to me no more. Why are you mad at me? I ain't mad at you. I just gave you an ultimatum. Yeah. It took you, you know, 18 years, and you get all the way up there, and you're going to talk about, well, I'm going to stop going. No, you're not. Not to be my friend. You're already on the verge of getting left out of my will. I didn't even have no will. I was trying to take mine with me. And plus, she had spent it all. Kept me broke. I couldn't even go out on dates. But, like I said, those were great memories. It kept me going. Kept me doing the things that I like doing. And greatly appreciated. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I first heard she was on the hospice, and I was telling some friends about her about when I really, before I really got to see her play basketball myself. A couple of my partners, because, you know, she didn't want me to know, because you need to be going to school. You don't need to be playing no basketball. You know how uncles are. You know, especially didn't know she could play. One of my partners come, man, you ever see your niece play basketball? I said, no, my niece don't play basketball. I get to talking to some of her friends way after the fact and stuff. And I find out she was almost the coach, but I find out she could play. Yeah. He up there scoring and dribbling all around the team and around the court and stuff. Sure it out. I'm at home watching basketball on TV. Man, you ought to see your niece play that ball, man. Your niece, man, and she be out there, man, you can see her pointing, telling her, you know, classmates and stuff. No, go over there, do this, do this. I didn't know that. So I started tending a little bit. But she still didn't want me to let her know she was there. I don't know why, but I did as she told, like usual. Go in and watch for a little while and then leave. But it was real marvelous to be able to say that's my niece right there. Oh, man, you lying. Yeah, that's my niece. And, oh, pretty soon I didn't have to tell nobody. She had already told them. My name was ringing at Lincoln like it was when I was in school. Billy Funnel, please come to the office. All I could hear, Billy Funnel, please come up to the school. What's wrong now? She done had another fight. She left school too early. She did this. She did. I love that message. I got to go through this stuff again. So, That was PD, Pam Duncan. Yep. Tell her guy yesterday, yeah. Every time she knew she was going to get in some trouble, every time she was going to, fight might get a little rough or something. If I get hurt, call my Uncle Bill. Call your Uncle Bill. What you going to call your agent? He'll come up here. He'll take care of it. He'll do this. Girl, I can't be coming up to that school. I'll be coming up there to see the principal. What happened? So, you just stop fighting. You just do what you're supposed to do and come out that school unchanged, unmessed with, by not messing with folks. That was like talking to a brick wall. But, like I said, the challenges was presented from the time she was 4 months old. To now. And my biggest challenge was really not saying goodbye tonight. But Pam had some friends that wanted to say again, and some family. But one in particular keeps coming to mind because Pam introduced her to me quite a few years back. And that is the one, the only, the lady with the word on the street. And I'm going to turn this over to her for a few seconds. And see if I can get a response.
Oh yeah, you can get a response. Good evening, Uncle Bill.
Good, wonderful evening.
Uncle Billy, it's a pleasure to talk to you again about your niece and my good great friend Pamela Duncan. One good thing about it, when you don't have to fake and shake and you can say what's on your mind, you don't have to think of it. I know you have a lot that is inside of you, and I'm glad you are allowing it to, allowing us to hear more about, when Pam was younger and how she developed into the person, the great personality that she was. Pam had us, even at the funeral, meeting people that we knew from a different place and time, and didn't even know that we all knew Pam in common. That's just how well known she was. And I tell you, I'm just in awe at the type of reception that we had as the class of 1979, Lincoln. I hadn't been to, and it's so coincidental, Uncle Bill, that Pam and I would always talk about when we were going to go to a class reunion, and we wanted to make sure that it was on Rochester Park, or was Bill Blair Park at this time. It was Rochester back then. We wanted to go to the Blue Lake. We wanted to do everything in our area because we bound by area, and we wanted
right.
to do around our comfortable things, surroundings and scenery that was comfortable to us, more so than going to the expensive hotels to you know, make a scene or, you know, this is how I'm doing, whatever, because, you know, everybody is not going to always do good or do well. And then one thing you have to do is make sure, and that's something we always did as a class, we lifted each other up. And that's what we always felt, you know, hey, we're not going to go somewhere and try to act like we this and we that and go and spend some money in another neighborhood that don't even appreciate us, so to speak. Let's do some things with common sense. Let's go get us a cow and go and barbecue on the lake. That's what we were supposed to do for years, and we never got a chance to do it. But, you know, I think Pam still got, like you were saying earlier, I think Pam still got some things going on with us. You know, she's still working on us with our hearts and our mind, bringing things back to our memories. And knowing for one thing that some people just couldn't even, digest that she's not here with us, you know, and that we did not get a chance, per se, to have that reunion. But like you said earlier, there's one reunion that we're not going to be able to get out of, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, we grow, you know, in a spiritual sense. We know that we all have to take the same journey that Pam took. So, and Pam was always a trendsetter anyway. She always was. That's just the way she did it. Let me show you guys and you follow suit. Let me show you how to shoot this. Let me show you how to shoot this free throw. Hold on. You see my wrist? Look. Watch my wrist. That's how you shoot, you know. That's just the way she always was. She got to show you how to do it, you know, and do it with finesse, which is what she did. Brought everything to a halt for a minute with all of us. And I got to tell you this, Uncle Bill. One of the Miss Lincoln of 1979, Susan Sessions, was there. And Susan said, now that was one thing about Pam. She did not take nothing. And she said, from nobody. One of the things that she said that had us all laughing, she said that, you know, Pam was the first one that beat me up. You know, Susan Wood came from a school that was in another area. And whenever somebody came to our school, so to speak, or our area, they had an initiation, so to speak. And she talked a little different, and evidently she had just got that attention. And one thing about it, they would have been some friends, because as you can see, this lady came to pay her respects in a good way, because we all had a good remembrance of Pam. Nothing but. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and I ain't cutting you off, but you know, that's what it pleased me so much to hear when the people was coming up talking about her. They were saying the same thing that we said Friday night.
Right.
She never met a stranger, and right, wrong, or indifferent, when you left Pam. Left as a friend.
Right.
You know,
right.
And she 'cause well, she's tell me all the time, Uncle Bill, ain't that right? Don't be no follower. Always try to be a leader. Try to yeah, fam, that's right. Yeah, you know you right. And quit trying to make me your yes man. I'm the one told you that. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, ain't that right, Uncle Bill? I just told you that, fam. I ain't your yes man. You know, I always had to try to get the last word and didn't ever work, but I tried. but that's the way she was, you know. She tried, her attempt at making friends, that was a winning point all the time.
Wow. Right. And I tell you one thing that impressed Pam and impressed myself about her. That Pam went to Bible class with me before on a couple of occasions. And so one thing I can say that I know her from a spiritual point as well as just us being friends. We had that opportunity that a lot of people do not have. And I know that there are some people who do not discuss those things, and that's very understandable. But at a point in time in my life when Pam and I had reclaimed our friendship, we had met back up again as adults who had lived somewhat in our 30s, and we had, gone through life's different situations. She had children. We both had divorces, things of that nature, life. And coming to an understanding and a knowledge of the Creator as He really is and actually exists in our hearts and minds, and sharing those type of things, which you don't get a chance to share with everybody.
Right.
You don't get a chance share that with everybody. And a lot of people had not seen me. They had seen Pam, because Pam had been to some events at a shorter time than me. I that was people I hadn't seen in 30 years, literally. And they didn't have any idea of what I had gone through, or what, I didn't have any idea what they gone through. As a matter of fact, we were sharing information as we sat in our seat sometimes, just trying to catch up, because that was the class reunion, I'm telling you, to a certain extent. Shoot. So it was more or less that we were getting together and making, everybody exchanging phone numbers, and we took some pictures, and it was just, I tell you, it was something else. And one person that I did miss was Pam's ace boom coon. That was Carla. I didn't get a chance to make it. And, but one thing about it, I understand. I understand that Carla and Pam was just that close.
Yeah.
Just understand. They were like Cheech and Chong. You know, I'm serious. They was like Sonny and Sarah, Tom and Jerry. Any duo you can think of that was. If one was out of the picture, the other one was not a full portion. When I called her, we talked. The last time we talked was Friday. And so we had made the plans to get together and get us away, et cetera, et cetera. And I tell you, when I got up Saturday morning, because I know what I had to do, I had about two or three different routes that I could take, because that's the way I am. So When I did try to contact her, I couldn't get hold to her. And, you know, I got an obituary for her, you know, because that's what we do.
Hey,
that's how we do it. To let her know, I understand that, you know, a lot of people can't, you know, fathom it for whatever reason in our lives, you know, can't digest it, you know, and it's very, very much understood. And I mean, I gotta reach out to her because there was one classmate that came to me and made the statement loud and clear in front of a lot of people as we were talking. She said, "Pam told me
to
come and get." She didn't say just come and look or go and tell or nothing. She said, "Pam told me to go and get you and Carla." That's kind of deep, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of deep.
Plan, keeping the band together.
She's still running it.
Yeah.
She's still running it. You hear me? Go and get them, because I already know that they ain't going to be able to really, you know, digest it, in which it was hard for me. But I tell you, without the help of some of you all, and you really, really put it out there, when you just let your feelings out as that uncle, and I know how you were really, really feeling about the whole situation, and then myself, if you could go ahead and bury your soul with everything and accept, you know, what was the reality. Who am I, you know, to, you know, not follow suit or to be able to, you know, basically lean, both of us lean, just lean, all of us, because even her brother, like I said, Carla, there was some that was, some of us, that was very, very emotional. One of the guys that spoke, I don't know if you remember, he was in that white jacket. I'm sure you'll remember the jacket. But I knew you. I know how you think, how you can remember those things. But that was a mutual friend that I did not know that Pam... that, and he were such good friends, and when I, you know, I can't see all that well, but when I really, I knew the voice, and then as he came through the audience, and I noticed who he was, and I said, "Wait a minute, now, you
were my grand nephew in law."
Get out of, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea. You just connected the dots. It's a small world.
Yeah.
Wow.
I try to tell people that all the time. Ain't nothing changing but the circle, the size of the circle, you know. And that's because the next go round, somebody else ain't going to be done made it. But, some of their relatives or some of their friends coexisting and stuff that you met in another life or met, another entity will come around and be on that next train and you'd be saying, how somebody, and they'll tell you, well, you know, I'm Ricky's cousin. I'm Ricky, yeah, yeah. So, you know, all of that dance. That's how
right.
I come around in circles.
Right.
Yeah, life don't go around in squares. It goes around in circles.
No,
and
you're right.
And we are the better for it because we've made quite a few circles.
Right. And it's all good. It's all good.
Yes, it is.
It's all good. But that's what I wanted to say. I don't want to be lengthy. I just want to say what I feel, and that's what it is, you know.
Well, I really enjoyed it because it opened my mind to the reunion, talking about. When you start talking about reunions, I was going to tell you, one of these meetings, this meeting tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about the Bunton reunion and opening up what is now Bill Blair Park to the biggest type of event that's ever been had down there. Don't even know when, don't know how, but with Lord's strength and your will, we going to do it. We're going to have the biggest Bunton reunion because of this will be the 21st year since the event was started.
All right.
And we had our first Miss Bunton.
All right.
So I know it hadn't been done like that in a while, in a bucket of years since 1996. But in 2016,
mm-hmm.
Bunton reunion gonna be on and popping, and you don't have to be from Bunton to be there.
All right. Hello,
so,
lady.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many people that been asking me, and I said, well, what stop y'all? You know, I said to y'all, the name is already out there. Oh, yeah, so they've been doing it, but they ain't telling nobody. This year, we going to tell somebody.
Right. You had some people who are really not familiar with, they of a younger generation. And what you have to do is, since we span so many different generations, because we have our generation, we had a generation before us, and then we had a generations underneath us. And, you know, that's a lot of years, you know. While I'm in my 50s, you know, those that are under me are in their 40s and 30s, you know, and 20s and teens. And it's a lot of us, you know, relatives and friends. It's just, you know what, we can spread it. It spreads like such a wildflower when people know that what you represent is of values, and that what you're going to do is going to be done in good taste. That's all people want to know. Is what are we looking at? What type of event? We looking at good, clean family fun. We looking at unity. It's some buzzwords that we looking at right now, because that's what we need in this society. That's what we need in our neighborhood. I got an email today from Ron Kirk regarding a battleground. To give a donation. Well, you see, I don't have an income, so to speak, but I tell you what I do have. Why don't you let me know what you're going to do as far as employing and implementing our youth and our people to do some battleground in politics this year, okay? And then we can talk about. I'll give you. I'll go sell some cans. Give you $5-$10. But you have to. We have to start having accountability in our neighborhood again. You just can't come and ask us to do things for you and your organizations, and you're not going to do nothing for us and our kids no more. I'm tired of looking at these kids, good kids, and they don't have nothing to do in the summer. They can't go get a job. But you can go across the bridge somewhere and they can get them a job. But then here our people are, we're going across the bridge to buy food and other things from these other areas. It's time for us to start asking for accountability. And that's one of the things that I like about your initiative and what you stand for. And I know that's what Pam stood for, because believe me, we talked about the restaurant for a long time. We talked about it for a long time. Had it been, you know, meant to be, it would have been. But guess what? You know, I'm still standing. So as long as I'm standing, I'm going to do everything I can in that same vein, in her name, however you want to put it, that I'm going to be zealous and go on out for it like when she used to do. You just go on stand in that corner and catch that ball. and just put it in the goal. That's all I want you to do, you know. Don't even think. Don't even move.
Well, see, I had told her that so many years ago, but she kept saying she had gotten older after she had stubborner, and she didn't want to do it my way, but I was telling her the soft way of kicking and open doors and stuff. People know you can cook if you don't got dog and get out there and cook. You know.
Yeah.
And so I showed her a different way that she could go about it and save a lot of time, save a lot of God dog with you. It's just like when you was in the Boy Scouts and they kept saying, don't wait on no luck, be prepared. You know?
Right.
Luck will come after the fact, you know? So right now, you got to do what you got to do, which is be prepared, because the opportunity is already there. So, her trust in her Uncle Bill wasn't the same as it was when she was a child, because she had gotten off course a little taste and a little strong in her ways. And so, and I admired that about her, because she was still of the mindset that she was on track with the way she wanted to do it. So, you know, I just said mine would have been a little quicker. So I chose a little more time than she did. And I applauded her a whole lot for sticking to her guns, you know. And that's what I used to tell her, you know, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so, you know, and I told her, I said, but remember this one. I said, see, when the cry that gold rush come, I want to be at the livery store selling picks and shovels.
Right.
Yeah, everybody running to the gold rush, but they're running empty-handed. They got to buy something. They got to buy some picks and shovels.
Right.
So, yeah. And so my store would be selling picks and shovels. So so be prepared is what I was trying to, you know, I tried to teach them all. Be prepared.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I remember one of my shows the other night, you see him coming, but you still don't do nothing.
Right. I need that T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. We'll be selling T-shirts in a couple of weeks.
I remember it. I want that one.
Yeah. And I was telling her that, you know, when she was younger, she realized it, but the best thing was her believability was mentioned there, you know.
Right.
Because she said, well, I know you done already went through this, or you done did this. Because I used to tell her, I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to tell you about something I heard. I'm going to tell you something that I've experienced, that I've went through. You know, that's the learn, use, and teach effect.
Right.
I'm going to learn it first. I'm going to put it to work and see if I can use it and if it's worth using. And after I use it and make sure it works, then I'll teach it.
Right.
But other
than
that,
right.
You ain't going to hear nothing from me telling you about no, do no digging over here and do no digging over there, and I ain't stuck nothing in the ground.
See, that's right.
So, you know, but I can't tell you where my peaks and shells are.
Right.
They said, that gold is up there here. Let me count up the money after you buy all my picks and shovels. Be gold in my pocket. So, you know, and that's the way I tried to keep them on the straight and narrow, because I told them something that was maybe not predictable, but was actually factual, because I had already went through it.
Correct.
Yeah. But it was like I said, she was my major challenge coming up. She kept me on the straight and narrow. Sometimes I was too broke to go anywhere else. Prom night, I'm trying to figure out. Wait till she get back home, and she done already told me, Uncle Bill, I'm going to be a little late. Well, what's that? What's that? I don't know what that is. Ain't nothing on that clock, said a little late. Because if you're not back in here by 12 o'clock, I'm coming hunting. Well, Uncle Bill, what about 1 o'clock? Yeah, okay, 1 o'clock is fine. I can live with that. As long as you realize you just made a statement, and if it's untrue, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I'm going to do it. 1 o'clock. You watch. You just watch. I think it was 2 o'clock or 2:30 or something when she got there. And the first thing out of my mouth, because I'm sitting up there waiting in the chair, you know, couldn't go to sleep. What happened? What happened to the 1 o'clock? Uncle Bill, it was a mistake. It was an accident. I apologize, Pam. You know, I don't even like to hear that kind of talk. Because it was on purpose. You knew when you was telling me 1 o'clock it was going to be later than that. Y'all probably already had another party to go to. Like I'm crazy. You know, and so that was a small one. Some of the bigger ones I can't even put on air.
I know that's right. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Lord have mercy. You did what?
Don't do it. I know it's some things I can't do nothing but laugh to myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, like I told her, the mistakes you make that hurt you don't only hurt you. They hurt your entire family. They hurt all your friends. They hurt your whole family, you know. And so, you know, think about it. And she didn't like that part, because she didn't like being embarrassed around her friends and her family. And she didn't like making mistakes where they would call her out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
none of us do.
Oh, no. I can live with it because, you know, everybody knew I was going to see her do it, you know. Tell me to come home at 1 in the morning.
That's what we had in common. As,
yeah.
We didn't like to be wrong. And we go to the principal's office, and we debate with the principal. That's how we were. Well, that was our class, though. That's just how we were. We kids born in the 60s. We were right there at the beginning of the 60s. I was born in 1960. They were born in 60, we were born in 60 and 61. We brought it in.
My early life at Lincoln was a cat's walk, because, like I said, I had angels. You know, I had Joe Bagby, Chief Don Stafford. I found his old newspaper the other day, and I wanted to show somebody, because I was telling one of my partners, I was telling my nephew about Chief Stafford. He said, "Yeah, Uncle Bill, I knew him. I know him." I said, "Ain't he dead?" I said, "I don't know. You know, when after they retire, you don't hear nothing about them for so long. You know, you just never know." And he said, "Well,
I'll check.
I'm gonna try to catch up, because, like I said, I laid this paper out there on purpose, because Chief Stafford, Joe Bagby." At a time when young crime was running rampant inside Dallas, but it wasn't that bad in Bundtown. But quite a few of the boys from Bundtown would go outside of Bundtown and do a lot of crime. So either way, both Joe Bagby, I met Joe when I was 13. I met Chief Stafford when I was about 10 or 11. And they was both all the time telling me, be independent, be by yourself. You can't get yourself in trouble. And, you know, when the other guys would be piling into them cars and stuff to go to the movies, we had the Starlight Drive-In and we had the Cinderella Drive-In.
Wow.
I would walk up to the drive-in where Joe Bagby worked. And he would be on the guard post, you know. He said, "Oh, how you doing, Mr. Parnell?" And I said, "Oh, Mr. Bagby, I'm doing fine. He said, "I see you're not in there one of them trunks tonight." You know, I said, "No," I said, "I don't play that. That's too crowded an area for me." He said, "Well, I told you I was going to let you in free every time you got ready and you didn't come with no game." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I really want to thank you, because I'd like to see this movie tonight." And he said, "Well, go on in. But remember, if the fight start out, you ain't supposed to get in it." I said, "Mr. Bagby, you know, that's a hard decision to make. And how you going to know whether I'm in it or not?" Easy, because I'll be watching.
Right.
I'll be watching. He said, "I really want you to consider what I was telling you. Don't get into them fights, and don't be let nobody use your name at them fights. You ain't got them pony boys already there waiting on you." You know, all that kind of stuff. I tell
you,
him,
know
no.
What? You just really, I'm going to have to check that out as soon as we finish out, because you just put that on my mind with Chief Stafford, because I really didn't hear it, and I know he would be in his 80s right now, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to check that immediately. I'm glad you said that. Because I'm just thinking about... Chief Brown too, because you know Chief Brown is basically to me, you know, knowing pretty much some of the best police officers in Dallas, and especially some of the best black ones, but Chief Brown is probably one of the best black chiefs since Stafford. To me, that's in my own opinion. That's in my opinion.
I would hasten to say this if I didn't know some of the other officers that was supposed to be chief of Dallas, and so I knew the other three that was chiefs. I knew them pretty good. I wouldn't say very well, but pretty good.
Right.
As far as knowledge is concerned about the differences, now the last thing I heard him say this morning or yesterday was, yes, there is a morale problem inside the police department, and there's a morale problem inside every police department in the United States.
Right.
So how would anyone be able to even consider the thought that it's because of Chief Brown or the lack thereof of what Chief Brown is doing? See, so like I said, he's a follower on my Twitter page. He's the number one follower on my Twitter page. And when I Twitter him tonight or in the morning, making that type of statement and letting him know that my programs are behind him 150%, and I will be talking with my other contacts in the department and getting more and more. I'm going to be in the very near future. I'm taking some information to a meeting with me tomorrow because I want to do some polls and some surveys and some things like that. Not just straight political, but on everything that's in a challenging position. And I've got to come up with the stats and all of that there. I'm putting in a call of Mayor Foose too. But all of that is in mind because of some information I found out reading some stuff on yesterday. But so, you know, I'm glad you brought that subject up because we are going to be doing some polls, some surveys, some shout-outs, and questioning the validity of a lot of other polls and shout-outs and whatever, because mine will be, like I said, in the real Dallas.
Right.
So we're waking up the world. We're gonna hit a lot of stumbling blocks. But guess what? That's what friends are for. See,
I'm gonna have to call you Uncle Billy Crooner.
But I'm gonna get on top of it. I'm gonna do my commentary a little earlier because in a little bit I'm gonna be shutting it down because I got a lot of reading to catch up on and a lot of things to do. But it felt so good getting that other little bit out about Pam and how she's challenged and what she's gonna end up doing up in heaven. You know, it might be a you got on the wrong train. It's time for you to leave. But I know my baby is content now, and I'm just glad she's no longer suffering. And the prayers that I say every night, every morning, whatever, I say for her and the world. Because, and I hear this a lot from a lot of different other people and stuff, am I my brother's keeper? Well,
right.
I definitely might not be my brother's keeper to some, but I do have family and friends all over the world that I feel like I'm a brother too. So I'm going to keep on trucking.
Right.
Wish I could play that song. I know that with the proper aspects up front. I'm going to be in the next several weeks. I'm going to be making a lot of friends that we can
utilize.
To begin a entire policy of inclusion. That was something that Pam was concerned about a lot because, she really believed in the family arrangement, and it meant a lot to her to even say family and friends because she carried it well.
Right.
So, to all the good listeners and everybody that chimed in tonight and did what they needed to do, and I hope they felt as good as I do about, I missed a couple of callers, but they'll get over it. But it was so good to hear from you and hear your tidbit on how you and Pam made it through school, especially overnight when you said, how y'all used to split the meat basket. I was telling somebody about that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm in a league with me, a league basket. So you never know. If you see your cook 6 days a week, you might get 12. Yeah.
I'm glad that made you smile because we just did it.
Yeah, the good luck up on Oakland. Malcolm X and I can't think of the name of that street.
It's right there in Green. Is it Green and Malcolm X?
Yeah, well, see that good luck there, man. I can go in that ass for a link basket, and I get link chicken, fish.
Not too long, I think it was a day or two ago, Don Cornelius. I'm gonna say love, peace, and soul to everybody.
Hey, I like that one. I like that one. I'm gonna have to keep coming on live.
And I'm gonna throw out that long kiss that he threw out at the end of the show. Bam.
Well, you have a great one, Miss Lady with the Wrist. Just wait. You didn't give me no word on the street. What's going on out there? I know you brought up the cheese and something else you brought up. But what's going on out there that we can talk about tomorrow night? Tomorrow night is Wednesday. You know I'm coming in here talking about a whole lot of different stuff tomorrow night. The new friends that I make tomorrow night is going to be strictly on the show of their own.
Well, give me a little time then, and I'll call you in the morning. How about that, please?
No, call me this evening and let me tell you something.
Okay, will do.
All right.
Good night, Uncle Billy.
Good night, lady on the street with the word. I holler. Shout.